Do you think a person should ever tell of his own personal experience with the Lord? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The testimony of a newborn soul carries much weight. This whole matter of telling other people what the Lord has done for us is far more important than we're inclined to think. It's good for us to tell it, and it's good for other people to hear it. Such a testimony, when I am able to tell someone else that the Lord has done something for me, is never a parade of conceit about my works. That's not how it is told. Nor is it an impressive promise on my part to other people that I'm now going to do better. That's not the way in which you do it. When you tell what the Lord has done for you, like the psalmist says in one place, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." It's just a simple, factual report. This is the way in which it happened to me. And this has a great deal to do with affecting the minds and hearts of other people. I remember so well a few years ago hearing of a man tell about how he personally came to commit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he told the story of his own personal experience, he told about how he had gone to a very well-known church and heard a very fine preacher. And as he had listened to the sermon, when it came to the end, he had just thought in his own mind, "Well, not tonight. This is not my time to receive these things." And he was going out of the church pretty much the same as he had come in. He was still an unbeliever, not committed to the Lord. At that point, just as he was leaving the church, he was invited to come along with a friend of his to a private home for a meeting of some men who were going to have an after-church meeting. He personally wondered what in the world they would do, but he went along with them. And when he got to this place, he found some 25 men gathered around in this man's home. And then the host of the evening took the floor, so to speak, and told the men what they were going to do. He said, "Well, tonight we're going to tell what the Lord has done for us in answer to prayer, or some way in which he has blessed us." Then he went on to say, "As each one of you tell what the Lord has done for you, tell what he has done for you in the past 24 hours. Anything older than 24 hours is out of date." Well, he had no sooner said that than the man I'm telling about, thought in his heart, "Well, now that will never come to pass. In the first place, you should never ask men to tell anything about what the Lord has done for them. Men won't do it. In the second place, you certainly shouldn't ask them to tell about something the Lord has done in answer to prayer, because a lot of them won't have anything to say about that. And in the next place, you certainly wouldn't ask them what had done the last 24 hours, because no one will have anything to say." And so deep down in his heart, he was just beginning to feel embarrassed already as to what was going to happen when nobody would say anything. And then to his amazement, out of this group of men, there was a constant testimony. It went on for over an hour. He said something like an hour and a half it took for first one man, then another, would tell of what the Lord had done for him in the past 24 hours. And he was saying, while he was listening to these men, the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reality of the gospel came to his heart so clearly that before they were through, he personally was able to believe. And he always says that where he could not have been one and was not one at a church service listening to a preacher, when he was gathered there with a group of men telling what the Lord had done for them, he was actually helped to become a believer himself. In other words, you see, when you give testimony as to what the Lord has done for you, you are in a sense referring to the power that has worked in your case. And the person who is listening gets the impression, "Well, that's the way it is with me. That's just exactly the way it could happen." You're reminded so much of that song that we all have learned to love so much, and I'm sure you've heard it many, many times. "It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you." And this comes to our minds in that way. Now, all of this, to my mind, is illustrated in the case of the Samaritan woman that we read about in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. Now, our studies are in the Gospel of John, And we are now reading in chapter 4. And I want you to open your Bibles now in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we will begin to notice from verse 27 on. And I want to comment on these verses just as you have them. And you will remember that the last thing we had read just before this is that the woman had gone her way, at least she had just found out from the Lord Jesus Christ that he was the Messiah that was talking to her. Now look at verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? When you pause there for a moment and look at that, there was a deference on their part to him. They didn't go asking him questions. They saw him talking to this woman. It's a very strange thing, but nobody questioned his right to do so, and nobody questioned him doing it. You know, when I think about that, I think about the attitude toward the Bible. And I have a feeling when it comes to people questioning the Bible, I just think that that reflects a certain frame of mind that the disciples didn't have. When they were in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't feel free to ask him a lot of questions about what he was saying and what he was doing. They watched. And I feel that with reference to you and the Bible is concerned, instead of asking a lot of questions about it, read it and listen. Let it speak to you. And that would be in keeping with its importance to you and what it really is. So we read in verse 28 that the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This was her testimony. A very simple testimony. Come and see this person who has revealed my whole life to me and shown me the truth about myself. You see, there was no argument. She didn't start a big discussion. She just said, I personally have found out something. This one has shown me something. I want you to come and see. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Some of the people came, and they always will. That kind of testimony always will attract some attention. Now, from verse 31 to verse 34, we learn something about the Lord Jesus himself. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, that they asked him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have meat to eat. I've got something that refreshes me and strengthens me that you don't even understand. Then said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him something to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, the thing that really strengthens me and nourishes me and keeps me going, is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. Now look at that for a moment. To finish his work. You see, this is a way of saying that the Lord Jesus would feel that Almighty God himself had been dealing with that woman. He had been dealing with her before she ever came there for water that day. He had been dealing with her through the years. And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her, he just finished the work of his Father. His Father was dealing with the woman, and he spoke to her, and his words were just what it took to help this woman through to the place where she openly understood and turned herself to God. Now in verses 35 to 38, the Lord Jesus brings this out for all of us. Say not ye that are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Now these words can be taken in a general way to indicate that at all times the situation is such that we could do the will of God, that at any time there would be something the Lord would want us to do to fulfill his work. But also it could have special reference at this time when he saw the people coming out from the city, these Samaritan men coming. And when he saw them coming out to listen to him, he was saying to his disciples, look at them coming. The fields are white unto harvest. In other words, they're all ready to be dealt with. They are ready to be talked to. They are ready to be shown. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. This brings to our mind something about the whole work of the gospel. When we go out to win people, if you go to ask someone to come to church, or you ask someone to come to Bible class, or you ask someone to listen to the radio, in any way you go to talk to someone, as it were, to draw their attention to the things of the Lord, you may have in mind, when you go to see them, God has already been dealing with that person. God has already been preparing that person. You never know how ready they are, how far they've been worked with. Many and many a time a person finds that when you go and talk to someone else, the other person will tell you, I've been thinking about that very thing. Sometimes they will say, I've just been wanting to go to church, and I suppose just waiting for someone to ask me, as the case might be. Sometimes you'll ask people to come to a Bible class and be surprised to find how ready they are to come. You're to understand that you are just entering into something that the Lord has already prepared. Somebody else, some other time, some other way, already affected that person. And this has just been done to help you along in this way. This is a case of that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before prepared that we should walk in them. So when it comes to inviting your neighbors, God has already worked on the neighbors. You go carry them the message. When it comes to praying for other people, God's already working on them. You join the Lord working with them by praying for them. When it comes to giving to the poor, God has already arranged that they should be helped. He's even given you something that you can give. He's set the whole thing up. So you take something of what the Lord has given you and give over to them. The same is with giving to missions. The missionaries are already out there on the field. The gospel's already in their hands. You've already been blessed and been given the money. Take some of your money and give it to the missions, and in that way fulfill the work of the Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand that in our own ministry, in our own serving Thee, that we are simply Thy servants, working along where Thou art already working. And bless us in it, for Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.